The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. It's on page 1094 in the Bibles. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Do please keep that Acts reading open in front of you, if you would, please. Page 1094 in the Church Bible. Aren't you jealous? I mean, it's not fair, is it? Wouldn't you love to be in a church like that? Well, I wonder what God can teach us here in Frogmore from a church like that. Let's pray together for his wisdom. Father God, we pray that you will open our eyes to your wonderful truth. Help us to see what you want us to do, how we can become more like the church we've just read about, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Just imagine a brand new church, 3,000 members and counting. But immediately, of course, you see the problem, don't you? The church needs foundations. It needs to identify its purposes, its aims. It needs to know how to operate. And no church, as we know, can operate without rotors. As Luke describes this church, we can't help but feel what a joy it would be to be a member of this church. His description focuses on their fellowship. Please notice that. He tells us of the foundations of this fellowship, its nature, and how God worked within it. We learn then that true fellowship rests on the generosity of God. True fellowship rests on the generosity of God. The fellowship was born, wasn't it, on the day of Pentecost after Peter's sermon. Peter had explained to them how that God had poured out his Holy Spirit into his people to empower them to preach the gospel. He told them how God had given his son Jesus to become a human being and die, to pay the penalty for human sin. Thus, forgiveness through his death was now freely available to any who sought it. The gospel is the story, is it not, of the generosity of God. In verse 42, Luke tells us of the foundations on which the new church was founded. And there were four foundation stones. The fellowship devoted itself, it says, to the teaching of the apostles. To fellowship together, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. The fellowship, you see, had its feet firmly on the ground of the teaching of the apostles. Now, the apostles, let's face it, had undergone a huge, massive revolution in their understanding of the scriptures. Look at Peter, for example. He displayed that massive transformation. From the coward in the courtroom, he now becomes the professor in the pulpit. And let us try to get a feel for the massive revolution that was beginning in the hearts and minds of this fellowship too. They'd been cut to the heart, Luke tells us, as Peter displayed the generosity of God in sending Jesus to be their savior. They too had begun this exciting process of rethinking their understanding of the scriptures under the Spirit guiding their teaching. Well, the second foundation was fellowship. And Luke describes this and rejoices in its description. And I'd like you to see how much he focuses on fellowship. The fellowship, he says, broke bread together. Now, this refers to the Jewish tradition of taking a loaf and breaking it and then giving thanks to God. There were meals together. These were very important, and I'd like you to notice how twice in these few verses Luke focuses on them eating together. They were very important, these meals. They were joyful occasions, and they were characterized by teaching, by prayer and praise, as verses 46 to 47 tell us. And Luke wants us, it seems, to enter into the joy of their table fellowship. And the final foundation stone was that of prayer. The fellowship depended on the generosity of God for its very lifeblood. And this dependence was expressed in prayer. But any fellowship can be successful if God acted as he did here, surely. We read in verse 43, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." Well, if only wonders and signs were done here in Frogmore, people would come to see, wouldn't they, what's going on? We would be overrun with people wanting to join us. Imagine, no more problems filling rotas. We would have too many for the tasks. But before we get carried away, we need some sober thinking. We need to recognize that a lot of Acts is written as a description and not necessarily a prescription. Luke tells us what happened, which is not always the same as what should happen. If we take an overview of the landscape of Scripture, we see that every so often, God acts in obvious and overt ways. He creates, he intervenes, he heals. But there are also long stretches, aren't there, when the world goes on and there's no obvious, overt evidence of his activity seen. The overt activity of God is confined to special periods when he needs us to watch and learn. And here in this passage before us this morning, we are at such a time. The fellowship is embryonic. It seems ideal, almost like a little cameo of heaven, doesn't it? We read no disagreements, no disharmony, no rotas, no thriving fellowship. Just a thriving fellowship, sorry, just on heaven. And that's important. God is teaching us that he longs for his people to live in harmony together, enjoying him and enjoying each other. Oh, it'd be great, wouldn't it, if revival came to Frogmore? But we must be careful in that aspiration that we're not looking for God to do all the work. God doesn't go overboard, you know, on the overt. But he does journey with us through the dry times. Indeed, let us not forget that the big lesson of Pentecost is that God indwells his people in an intimate and empowering way that is transformational and, I'm going to say, is miraculous. Luke describes the fellowship as a fellowship that not only rests on the generosity of God, but also reflects the generosity of God. True fellowship reflects the generosity of God. Luke shows the fellowship to be a generous and caring fellowship. Look at verse 44. All who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Is this the key to true fellowship? Should we all sell up and live in a commune? Well, this again is description, not prescription. Firstly, they didn't dispose of their homes. Verse 46 tells us that. Secondly, the text tells us that they responded to need. Thus, they were selective in their disposal of goods. God had generously met their needs. Now they in turn reflect that as they discover and meet the needs of those within their fellowship. Now I want to ask you a question. How do you think they discovered the needs? Clearly, deep fellowship was developing in a very short time in this church. Almost certainly, I would have thought, it must have occurred over the mealtimes together that the fellowship deepened. This was a caring fellowship. It took the trouble to enter into the needs of its members. Now, we may not have the apostles in person, nor their miracles, but we do have a fellowship, and most of us have homes. Pentecost teaches us that we can prayerfully ask that God would empower us by his Holy Spirit to use whatever gifts and possessions we have for his purposes. Perhaps we can enjoy each other's company over a meal, or even just a cup of coffee. Of course, I realize some domestic situations demand that this must be approached with sensitivity, and I recognize that. But I think we need to see a further challenge here. We need to learn from these early Christians. As they broke bread together, they brought into their hospitality the joy of their faith. May God empower us to make good use of the opportunities we have to invite God into our conversations and deepen our fellowship together. Now, we are allowed, thank God, to have people in our homes. It's a golden opportunity, isn't it, to start a fresh wave of fellowshipping together and to talk of the things of God together. But Luke tells us more. He shows us that this fellowship reflected the generosity of God as a committed fellowship. Their timetables were revolutionized as they made time for what they now saw as vital, time to meet together in the temple and in their homes. The joy of their fellowship was seen by the community as the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Notice, please, he added them to their number. None were left out to fend for themselves. Fellowship is a key and integral part of God's plan for his people. God was at work in this fellowship. But God is at work in our fellowship. True fellowship rests on the generosity of God as revealed in the scriptures. True fellowship reflects the generosity of God as we seek to invite the Lord into our conversations. And it recognizes its dependence on God as we learn to pray together. And of course, we have our prayer meeting this coming Wednesday. Well, it may be, as you read of this fellowship, that you are indeed jealous. But perhaps there are steps that are not impossible for us to take. We can encourage each other in our fellowship, can we not? We might consider joining a growth group where we can enjoy fellowship around the Word of God. We can nurture deep fellowship as we make time for each other. We can pray for God to empower us to make the changes that we need to make. Let us pray together. Our Father, our fellowship is based on your generosity to us. We pray that you will empower us to reflect your generosity to us in our fellowship, for Jesus' sake. Amen.